Good evening, church. Let's start it off like this. Would you stand with me? Choir, stand with me tonight. And we're going to go over to page number 307. We're going to sing that wonderful old song that says, "Revive us again." Amen. I don't know about you, but I stand in need of revival.
Me too, brother.
Kathy, you were here with us last night. Started something in your heart last night?
Amen.
Honestly, we had a wonderful day on Sunday, but Snyder was with us Sunday morning, and the Lord began to deal with me. Sunday evening, he started digging a little deeper with Brother Samuel. But I'm just here to tell you, just maybe it's just me, but man alive, Brother Carl, this plowed my field asunder last night. I mean, I didn't even get out to the car good. And I said, "Lord, what I need you to do is to save my mind. I know my soul is saved, but God, I need you to save my mind."
Thank you, God.
I sent CJ a text, didn't say anything about that. I said, "Boy, what service this was tonight?" And he said, "You know what? I need God to save my mind. Maybe there's a little something to it, Brother Larry." All day today, he's...
Blessing God.
This morning, on the way to work, I said, "Lord, I'm going to need you to stand guard at the gate of my mind." Right. And every time, because the enemy, you think he didn't throw some things up in my face today? The enemy would be after me trying to destroy me just like he would everybody in this building here tonight. But every time something would crop up, I'd say, whoa. Lord, I need something to hinder my mind. What we need tonight is an old-fashioned, devil-chasing, Holy Ghost-stirring revival. Yeah. Would you sing this old song with me tonight like you've never sung it before? Page 370. Turn us around there, brother.
Glory, man, it's not so far away.
some going.
Bless you, Lord.
Your voice is God.
So many.
devil can get a hold of our mind, he has a hold of us, because our mind does control us. And when we started singing this song, we haven't been singing it long, haven't sang it in a while, but I was probably going through the hardest storm I've ever lived through in my life. And still today, I feel like I feel a lot from that, but the Lord constantly will come and try to attack my mind and bring that storm back up to me. So last night, there couldn't have been a better way to start the revival for me, because if the devil could control my mind all week, then I'm not gonna be able to serve the Lord like I want to this week. So I'm so thankful. We have never heard him preach before. And all we could say at the end was, wow. And it was incredible. So I'm so thankful that the Lord orchestrates things the way he does, and that he brought that preacher in last night. So really, let us get a hold of our minds. And if you were here last night, I pray that that you will chew on those words all week and not let the devil have control of your mind. And if you weren't here last night, go back and listen, because it was incredible.
Man, bless you.
May I keep my eyes on you. Thank you. Their lives tonight. Yeah. Your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. I do appreciate these men that have come with me tonight. I don't know if we'll be able to get their heads in the truck after watching this. But I do appreciate them coming over with me. Used to, Brother Snyder, Annette just had one go with me, but now she has to have three. I don't know what that means. But I appreciate them. Matthew 14, verse number 22. When you find your place, say amen.
Amen.
I, like you, were blessed last night by Brother Carl. I watched it on the internet. Brother Carl pastors just a few miles from us. We are friends and have preached meetings together, camp meetings and various things. And he's a great, great preacher. They have a great church, a great family. I have his oldest daughter in my church. Her husband is our associate pastor. So we are blessed to fellowship and know the partakers. And I'm glad you all had him for the call. He's a great preacher. Then the rest of the week, you've got good men on God. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Chapter 14, verse 22. Here's what the Bible says. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. Get this phrase. For the wind was contrary.
Amen.
I want you to underline that phrase in your thinking tonight. For the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. It's a ghost. It's a phantom. They cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid.
Amen.
We'll stop reading there tonight for the sake of time. Now, I want to preach a moment or two tonight around this little thought. What to do when the wind is contrary? What to do when the wind is contrary? This was not the first time that the disciples of Jesus found themselves in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. If you'll go back to Matthew chapter 8, they found themselves in a storm on the Sea of Galilee, but that time Jesus was in the boat with them. The Bible said that he was asleep, but yet he was in the boat with them, and they woke him and said, Master, care not that we perish. And Jesus got up and went and spoke, and the winds and the waves ceased. But this time in our text, Jesus is not in the boat with them. Jesus is on a mountain in solitude. alone, praying, and they are in the will of God. They are being obedient to God,
amen,
doing what the Lord has told them to do. And they find themselves in the midst of the sea, and the Bible said that the wind was contrary. Contrary. You said, Pastor Dave, what in the world does that word mean? Contrary. Here's what it means. It means the wind was in their face. In their face. As they were rowing, trying to get their vessel across the Sea of Galilee, instead of the wind propelling them forward, the wind was blowing in their face and was blowing them backwards.
Yes. Amen.
Are you listening?
Yes. Amen.
I want to take three thoughts from this truth tonight and preach to you for just a few minutes. We're going to look at these verses and we will stay with the text and exegete the Word of God. First of all, in verse 22 and 23, I want you to notice this, the situation that is presented. The situation that is presented. You notice the text said that Jesus straightway constrained, boy, that's a strong word, constrained his disciples to get into a ship. What's that word mean, Brother David? It means this, he compelled them. With urgency, he besought them. He drove them to get in the ship. Jesus was doing something that his disciples did not want to do. They didn't want to get in the ship. You say, Pastor, fine. I'll tell you why. Jesus had just fed the multitude with five loaves and two fishes.
Amen.
And the fame and popularity of Jesus was at its height. I mean, you talk about electricity, you talk about excitement, you talk about a service that had a touch on it, man. They had just had a service that had just been filled with a seafood buffet.
Yeah.
And they didn't believe that. John helps us understand why Jesus is constraining them to get in a ship and go to the other side. John said this, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and make him king, take him by force to make him king, he departed into a mountain alone.
Yeah. Amen.
Jesus perceived that this multitude that he had fed, along with his disciples, and they would have joined right in, were going to try to take him by force and make him king. You say, why, Brother Dave, were they wanting to make Jesus king? Because they wanted out from under the Roman tyranny that they were under. They wanted a king that had the power to take five loaves and two fishes and feed a multitude. They wanted a king that had the power to heal the sick. And they, by force, were ready to take him, make him king. Now you hear me quickly, and I'll move on. Jesus is King by right and title.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus will not be made King by any democratic process. Jesus will not be elected King by the will of the people. Jesus is King by the word and the will of God.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, God.
Amen.
So Jesus, through his actions, puts his disciples in a ship, sends away the multitude. And the Bible says he goes up to a mountain alone to pray. Now, there's something I want you to notice in verse 22. The Bible said that he said unto them that they were going to go to the other side. Did Jesus know, Pastor David, that he was going to be sending his disciples into a storm?
Yes.
Did Jesus know, Pastor David, that a storm was coming on the Sea of Galilee?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Absolutely. He knew that he was sending them in a storm. And these disciples were not in a storm because of their disobedience.
Right. Amen.
They were in a storm because of their obedience.
Amen.
They were not in a storm because they were out of the will of God. They were in a storm because they were in the will of God. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a silly, shallow, sinful theology that's being preached and promoted that says if you serve God, if you're in the will of God, if you're obeying God, you'll never have any problems and you'll never have any storms. Let me tell you something. Don't you believe that for one skinny minute.
Amen.
That is contrary to the truth of this book.
Thank you, God.
I don't care what the Joy Boys are saying on the television broadcast. There is going to come storms in the life of your of God's people, even when they're in the will of God and they're obeying God.
Amen.
Now listen to me. I'll not stay here a long time, but I need to say this and I'm going to move on. In the life of the Christian, there are two kinds of storms. There are correcting storms, and there are perfecting storms. A correcting storm is illustrated in the life of Jonah, the prophet. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach. But he disobeyed and he took a ship to Tarsus. And when he got out in the midst of the sea, he hit a storm. And Jonah's storm was because of his disobedience, and God used that storm to deal with a disobedient prophet. There are times that God will send correcting storms in the life of his disobedient children.
Yes, sir.
Right.
But there is also what I want to call a perfecting storm. The perfecting storm is illustrated in the life of Job. Job was a righteous man that feared God and eschewed evil. Yet Job encountered one of the greatest storms that any human being has ever encountered. Was it because of Job's disobedience? No. Was it because of Job's sinfulness? No. Was it because of Job being out of the will of God? No. I tell you what was far. It was to show the devil that Job would not turn his back on God.
Amen.
That there was still one that trusted God even in the storm.
Yeah.
And God will sometimes send a storm in your life to cause you to learn to trust Him more. And the Holy Ghost will let you know which one you're in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If you'll ask.
Bless you, God.
Amen.
Right.
Is this a correcting? Or is this a perfecting? God sends perfecting storms. Get us prepared for bigger storms. You remember Genesis 22:1? The Bible said, now, after these things, did God tempt or try Abram? After what things, preacher? After all the little storms Abram had been through with God on his journey, he brought him to the greatest storm of sacrificing his son.
Right.
Amen.
God don't waste a storm.
Yeah.
Are you here?
Amen.
And God will send us into a perfecting storm to prepare us for a bigger.
Amen.
Sadly, God will educate us in the perfecting storm to learn things about Jesus that we would have never known had it not been for the storm or the light.
Amen.
Amen. You say, Pastor, I thought we were going to shout it out. Hold on, we're going to get there. We got to get some truth.
Bless him, God.
Yes, sir.
There are things that the Lord can only teach us in the storm.
Sure.
Amen. And there are things that he wants you to learn about him that can only be learned in the storm. Can I ask you that are saved in this building tonight and have walked with the Lord? Has there not been times as you've walked with the Lord in your storms that you have learned things about the Lord, about His faithfulness, about His trustworthiness, about His peace, about His provision, that you would have never learned about Him if you had not gone through the storm with us
together?
If you have, you are.
That's right.
Because it's in the storms of God, the perfecting storms that God teaches us to grow in our faith and trust in Him.
Amen.
So here's the situation that is presented. Jesus sent them away, Pastor, because He knew that they They were wanting to come and take him before us and make him king. And he knew his disciples would chime right in there with the multitude. So Jesus said, y'all get in the boat and go across the Sea of Galilee. Y'all multitude, go away. I'm going up to the mountain to pray. But notice verse number 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. We say the Sea of Galilee at its widest point is some 9 or 10 miles. So the ship is in the midst of the sea. That means they're about 4 or 5 miles away from the shore. And out in the midst of the sea, the Bible says that the ship begins to be tossed with waves. Was contrary. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. The Sea of Galilee was notorious for unexpected storms. Storms on the Sea of Galilee could pop up out of nowhere. When the disciples get in the ship and start on their journey, the first few miles, John said that going 25 or 30 furlongs, the first furlongs of their journey was calm and still. But out of nowhere, here comes a storm. And now they find themselves in contrary winds in the midst of a strong storm. The waves are convulsing and the winds are contrary. It's literally blowing in their face. I'm sure that there was a temptation to turn around and get the wind out of their face to their back and go back the other direction.
That's good. Yes.
Because it is no fun when the wind is contrary and beating you.
Bless the Lord. Amen.
In the face. Mark said in his account of this preacher that they were toiling in their robe. What's that mean, Brother Dane? Here's what it means. That they were having trouble keeping the ship on course, having trouble moving the ship. And if you'll study this, they were out there about 9 grueling hours. Now listen to me. These were experienced men. They knew how to handle a boat. They knew how to handle the weather conditions. This was not their first storm. But this storm was unwelcome, unwanted, and unexpected. With all of their expertise and all of their abilities, they found out very quickly that they were not in control.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
They were not in charge.
Amen.
Life It's a lot like that, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
It's a new theory.
We're sailing on calm and smooth seas. But all of a sudden, the waves begin to convulse, and the winds begin to get contrary and begin to beat us in the face, and we think, we've got this, we're in charge, we're in control, but suddenly we come to the realization, no, 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 we're not in control.
Amen.
We're not in control. I read about a woman that was telling another lady about a car accident that she was in. She said, oh, it was awful. I ran off the road. I hit a mailbox. I ran over a bicycle. I come back on the road. And I hit two cars. And then I lost control. Sounds like a lot of Baptist to me. It's just hard to say. We can't control it.
Right.
Amen.
We can't handle it. It's bigger than us.
Right.
It's greater than us. Like the wind lie can become contrary. Find ourselves in the wind lie. It's contrary. Find ourselves in the midst of a storm. By the way, we get overwhelmed by the storms and struggles and situations.
Right.
Somebody said, Pastor, is it weakness to admit that I'm in a storm that is beyond my control? I'm in a storm, Brother Dave, that it is greater than my abilities. Is that weakness to admit it? No, that's intelligence to admit it, and it's ignorance not to.
Amen.
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 Say that word, my wife's not here. She would have caught me if she had been here and I'd said that word. Now, if I had to stop it here, and we have to close the book tonight and leave those disciples out there in the middle of the Sea of Galilee fighting for their life, preacher, in contrary wind. I want to tell you, it would be sad. It would be bad. They were emotionally, physically, and spiritually drained. It would leave you and I hopeless in our storms.
Right.
When the contrary winds are blowing in our face. But I've come to give you good news from the far land.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God.
Don't you dare give up.
Amen.
Don't you dare give out. Don't you dare give in. Because help is on the way.
Amen. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Help is on the way. In verse 25, 26, and 27, there is the Savior that is present. And in the fourth watch, of the night. You say, what time's that, preacher? Well, the Jews broke the night up into four different watches. The first watch was from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. The second from 9 p.m. to midnight. The third from midnight to 3 a.m. And the fourth watch was from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Right. One of the darkest parts of the night. In the fourth watch of the night, the Bible said that Jesus went unto them walking on the sea.
Amen.
You believe that?
Yes.
Somebody said, I don't know about that sea walking business, preacher. Well, I do.
Yeah.
He went walking on the sea in the darkest part of the night to where his disciples were. And not only the watch, but there's the watchfulness there in the prayer. Jesus is praying. There in the storm, Jesus is in solitude. That there in the mess, Jesus is on the mountain. Can I remind you, I quoted Mark 6:48 a while ago, where the Bible said they were pulling in their rowing, but did you know what the first part of that verse said? And he saw them.
Yeah. Amen.
And he saw them toiling in their row. What does that mean, Pastor David? Exactly what it says. He might have been on a mountain praying, but Mark said he knew what was going on down in the sea. He saw them toiling in their rowing. And let me tell you something about Jesus. You may not be able to see where he is, but there's never a time that he cannot see where you are. Now I tell you, he still has the power and the ability to come walking on the sea to you if he has to.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
You may not see him, but he sees you.
Yes, sir.
And he knows exactly when the winds are contrary and blowing in our face. Because he knows what we're fighting, feeling, and facing. He's our great high. There's the watchfulness. There's the walk. Walking on the sea. Aren't you glad he's never late?
Yeah.
He's always on time. Come walking them on the water. Verse 26, there's the word. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. It's a ghost. They cried after fear. You say, Pastor Dave, they didn't realize it was him. Well, number one, it's between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. There's darkness. Number two, the waves are crashing and the winds are blowing to impede their visibility.
Yeah.
Number three, no human being had ever walked on the water.
Yeah.
What would you?
Right.
They say you're trying to make it. I had read about two boys that wrote to a funeral home during their college days. They were left alone one night to help prepare a body. And they were alone there in the funeral home, and they had got the body prepared, and they were rolling it from the preparation room out to the viewing room. And one of them rolled it, looked at the other one and said, do you believe in ghosts? And that other one said, no, I don't believe in ghosts, but I sure am scared of them. They were afraid. They were frightened. But notice the word. Here's what he said. Number one, his presence calmed their fear. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. I'm here. Number two, his proclamation called for faith. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. It is I. What's that mean, preacher? He's saying to them, I'm whatever you need me to be.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
That's what I mean.
Thank you, God.
Can I have about 2 more minutes? I did not read on down. But the Bible said in the next verse, and Peter answered him. Well, I don't find in there where Jesus asked any questions. Yeah.
That's right, man.
He made a statement, but he didn't ask no questions. Here's old impetuous Peter, always speaking when he ought to be quiet. And he said, Lord, if it be you, bid me, command me to come unto you, and I'll walk on this way. You know what? Somebody said, Brother Dave, Peter was doubting if it was Jesus. No, that if wasn't an if of doubt. That if was an if of declaration. Peter was actually saying, Brother Snyder, Lord, since it's you, if you give me permission, I'll get out of this boat and I'll come to where you are. Peter wanted for Jesus.
Amen.
And can I tell you, there isn't a better place to be in a storm than where Jesus
is. Amen. Amen.
Now there are those that want to criticize Peter because he got out of the boat and walked on the water and sank. But the Bible said that he did walk on the water. We don't know how far he got, but he walked far enough to get close enough to Jesus, and when he began to sink, all Jesus had to do was reach an eye lens right there. All Jesus had to do was reach out his hand and grab.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. He got a little piece on the boat. There from the boat, but there are those that want to criticize Peter. I don't think y'all be criticized.
Yes.
I think y'all be commended. You say commended, yeah. At least he got out of the boat.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Amen, brother.
That's more than most brothers do.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Right.
More than most Baptists do.
Yes.
They got the safety and the comfort of the boat.
Yes. Amen.
And you gotta watch him boat people.
Come on.
You gotta watch them boat people. Because they'll criticize you, they'll hinder you, and do their best to keep you in the boat. But I want you to realize something I'm not done. I want you to realize something, neighbor. Peter wasn't just walking on the water. Peter was walking on the word.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Jesus said one word to him. Come. Come. Peter's not only walking on water, he's walking on the word of Jesus. Come. And I thought about old Thomas. When old Peter was yanking his leg up to step out of that boat to get on the water, can't you just hear old Doubting Thomas in that boat? Peter, you've done some crazy things in your life, but this takes the cake. I cannot believe, Peter, that you think that you're going to walk on that water. Peter, you need to keep yourself in this boat. You've got to watch them boat people. They'll keep you in the boat and you'll not get to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. But old Peter wasn't listening, Pastor, to what Thomas and the rest of the 11 was, rest of the 10 was saying. You notice none of the rest of them got out of the boat, didn't they? All that Peter did. All that Peter could hear was the words of Jesus saying, come, 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 come. And when Peter stepped out of the boat, he stepped out on the word of Jesus. Come, come, come. Amen.
Bless him, God.
Yes.
That's what you do when the wind is contrary. You get out of the boat.
That's right.
Amen.
And you go to Jesus.
Amen.
You head his direction. You say, but Pastor, what if in that journey to Jesus I falter? Don't worry. He'll save you.
Yeah.
He'll save you. He'll reach down and lift you up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Whoa. What a Savior.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, what a Savior.
Amen.
Oh, what a Savior is mine. What about you?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that even in the midst of our storms, when the wind is contrary, beating us in our face, that we have a sea-walking Savior that can come out in the fourth watch of the night and walk on the water to get to where we are.
Yeah.
Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Praise His name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
I'm through, and this is the invitation, Pastor Neil. You'll come and give it as you're waiting. There's somebody in this room tonight, in your life, right now, the winds are contrary. They're beating you in the face. You need to get to Jesus. Don't miss him. Don't miss him. He may be right now walking to you. Don't miss him on the water of your life. Father, what a blessing to preach again tonight. Lift up your darling son, the Lord Jesus. I pray God you'd speak to heart. In this room. Lord, we all bow contrary to you. Help us not to give up, give out, or give in. Get to Jesus.
Thank you.
His name up. In.
Let's stand on our feet tonight. All stand in the building. Please respond with very short throats. Each of you are on your feet.
Right in these seats where they're sitting. They can die in the car, going home. Any moment, their lives can be taken. And you've got tonight to come up here and give yourself to Jesus.
Amen.
That's the only thing you can do to save yourself.
Amen.
Turn yourself over. Thank you.
Amen.
I want to have a special time of prayer tonight for Brother David. And two things. Brother David had a back surgery coming up Monday. Also, it's been made known, our church knows, and the others know, and I know he's okay with me sharing this. We've talked about it before, but well, David's been battling cancer, and so it's kind of, I guess, the last report wasn't the best report, and he knows that, and also, he also knows the kind of God that he serves and that we serve.
Yeah.
We did this a couple of years ago. We had our deacons come forth. We just laid hands on a brother and prayed for him. And what I want to do tonight, I'd like to have first our deacons, Calvary Baptist Church deacons. How many of them got here tonight just to surround? If this is okay, Brother David.
Yes.
We just want to pray for you, love on you a minute. Calvary deacons. But also, Brother Nick, if you and any of your deacons are here tonight, if you'd like to join us down front, pray for Brother David. We would love to have you join in. So far, we got CJ. Any more deacons in here tonight? Preachers, pastors, if you'd like to join us, please come. Help us pray for this man of God tonight. Also, as we pray on the name of his wife, Annette, as well as anybody else that feels led and would love to come. Enjoy. Don't be afraid. Don't be standoffish. This is a prayer meeting. This is a prayer meeting. If you believe in the God that heals, would you please come forward and help us pray for him? Amen.
To him, but to his family. I
pray they would be touched through all of this.
Yes.
Thank you for being with them. Strengthen them for the sharing him in the ministry. And I pray, God, that everything that we ask you would be done with a clean heart for a holy God, to a willing people. And I pray most of all, you get glory out of all of this, and we'll bow our heads mindful that we have nowhere else to turn, and there's nowhere else we want to turn. You are God, and we're your people, and we bow before you now. God, please, we beg you, do it not for us, but for your glory and the witness of God to so many people that know this man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the Word of God today. God, thank you for this dear man of God. Use him greatly. Take Brother Smith and continue to work and your healing power upon him. God, I pray that you allow us to leave here recognizing as the storms would come about that we would be willing to continue to go forward even though things may be contrary. And God, help us to have the strength to do so that you might be glorified. May God, you protect us on our way home. Thank you again for this time together. Thank you for this church. Give them souls for your hire, Lord, and I pray that you be glorified in Christ's name. Amen.